So on the eve of this 250th anniversary of American heritage, we resolve and swear for all to hear that the citizens of the United States of America will vanquish communism quickly. Don't let them take too much of your time. You know they're wasting your time, don't you? But we're not going to let them take too long or too much of our time as they play their games and send them into exile. We will send them quickly away, and we will continue to build our country bigger and better and stronger than ever before. America will never be a communist country.
This is my video update on this Saturday afternoon, July the 4th, coming to you from Limassol, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with Trump's 250th anniversary speech at Mount Rushmore. Today is July 4th. Happy Independence Day to everyone in the United States. A few days ago, it was July 1st, which was Canada Day. So a happy late Canada Day as well. Let's talk about Trump's speech, where the U.S. president, he named the main enemy of the United States. Enemy number one for the U.S., according to President Trump, are the communists. The commies are back. They are back, and they are enemy number one. Trump, in his speech, he vowed to vanquish communism and to send communists quickly into exile. He said that communism is a mortal threat to American liberty. It is the greatest threat to our country, including World War I, World War II, Pearl Harbor, or even 9/11. That is how big of a threat communism is to the United States. Obviously, this is messaging created for the midterms in November. Communism and communists being the Democrats, the Democrat Party. That's what this is all about. But hey, at least enemy number one is not Russia, all right? Let's look at the bright side of things. At least it's not Russia that is enemy number one, like NATO CEO Mark Rutte said. I am unable to sleep at night because of the Russian threat. The Trump administration is going with communists. They are enemy number one. So that was pretty much his speech at Mount Rushmore, U.S. President Trump. And it's going to be a fun day in the United States. July 4th is always a fun day in the U.S. So I hope everyone does enjoy themselves and they have a good time on this July the 4th. And watch out for those commies. They're hiding everywhere. They're hiding everywhere and they're out to get you. So let's talk about the story from the Telegraph about Poland and how Russia is planning a super secret operation to provoke Poland. You may even get a Russian invasion of Poland. Not an all-out invasion. A small group of Russian soldiers might actually cross over into Poland in order to cause all kinds of trouble, according to the Telegraph. A lot of people are talking about this story with anonymous officials as the source for this claim that Russia is going to attack Poland. The Telegraph writes, Russia planning attack on Poland to test NATO resolve, U.S. warns, critical infrastructure could be targeted by missiles and drones with soldiers potentially crossing the border from Kaliningrad or Belarus. Russian soldiers, a Russian operation into Poland, according to anonymous sources from Axel Springer Media and the UK Telegraph. Now, the beginning of the article, about the second paragraph into the article, it says that Washington has issued several warnings to Warsaw about the plot. Sources close to Karol Nawrocki, the Polish president, told Onet, the Polish news outlet, which, along with the Telegraph, is owned by Axel Springer and is part of its Global Reporters Network. Yeah, so they give the whole game away right at the beginning of the article. Axel Springer, his media network. Onet, is it Onet or ZeroNet? I think it's Onet. The Polish publication that I guess he owns, the Telegraph he owns. I think that Springer owns, he owns a whole bunch of German publications. Doesn't he own Der Spiegel or Bild or something like that? Doesn't he also own Politico? I'm not sure. He has a huge media network. Axel Springer. He does not like Russia. He does not like Russia at all. And so right at the time that Poland is in this big fight, Nawrocki is in this big fight with Le Goblin Ver, you got to find something that can distract them from this big fight. Find a common enemy. Find something that will unite them instead of keeping them at odds. What could unite Poland and Ukraine? What would be the ultimate distraction from this row between Nawrocki and Le Goblin Ver? What could it be? Maybe Russia? Russia, maybe? How about a Russian invasion into Poland? Oh, boy. Now, the story is wild. It is really, really wild. So, according to the Telegraph, I'll summarize the story. And these are all from anonymous sources, right? The U.S. warns Poland, warns Nawrocki's office. But you have all of these diplomatic sources and embassy sources. You don't know who they are. But according to this article, Russia is planning some sort of an operation against Poland. Now, it could come in basically two forms. The light, the Poland Operation Light that the Kremlin is cooking up, could be some sort of drone over Poland that crashes into Poland. It could be some sort of missile that Poland shoots down, a Russian missile, and that crashes over Poland. That could be Operation One. Operation Two is a whole lot more daring and a whole lot more serious. It's Russian forces crossing into Poland via Belarus or through Kaliningrad. And these Russian forces, we're talking about a small force. I imagine, as you read the article, it doesn't give an exact number, but it does talk about a small group of Russian soldiers that cross over into Poland. 5 soldiers, 10 soldiers, 20 soldiers. They cross over into Poland, and this is where it gets interesting. I love this story. I love this story so much. I wish I had come up with this. So they cross over into Poland, either through Belarus or through Kaliningrad. And as they're in Poland, the United States tells Nawrocki, the president of Poland, to not destroy those Russian forces, the Russian group of soldiers. Do not attack them. The U.S. warns Poland. So Poland is unable to destroy this group of Russian soldiers, these 20 or 10 Russian soldiers who are now in Poland, right? They're hanging out in Poland. And Poland can't destroy them because the United States told them not to destroy them. So what happens is that the Kremlin begins negotiating with Poland for the soldiers to leave Polish territory. So we enter into a diplomatic negotiation. And according to the Telegraph and this Polish publication, Onet, this is seen as a huge win for the Kremlin. NATO is now weakened, NATO is now divided, and the cherry on top of this cake is that one of the terms that the Kremlin dictates to Poland in order for the Russian soldiers to leave Polish territory, because remember, the United States told Poland, you cannot destroy these 10 or 20 Russian soldiers or 30 Russian soldiers that are hanging out in Poland. You cannot destroy them, cannot eliminate them. And one of the Kremlin's terms, their demands, in order for those soldiers to leave, is that support for Ukraine must end. That's right. That is the second option of this Russian operation. Oh, boy. Amazing stuff. Here we go. Let me read you the serious part of the operation, not the drones or the missiles falling into Poland. They could do this tomorrow, Ukraine or NATO. They could do this flag tomorrow, a missile falling into Poland and then blaming it on Russia. They've done it a bunch of times. What is this? It's the Russian soldiers hanging out in Poland. That's the interesting part of this story. The same source said an armed incursion involving Russian or Belarusian soldiers was conceivable. This could be presented by Russia as an accidental straying into Polish territory because of a GPS failure or as a dubious rescue mission to retrieve a helicopter suffering from a malfunction. Russia would count on the fact that instead of opening fire on Russian or Belarusian soldiers in such a situation, Poland would be forced by the U.S. to negotiate with Russia or Belarus rather than responding forcefully, Polish sources told Onet. A scenario in which the Russians would withdraw from Poland as a result of those negotiations rather than because they were forced to do so by military means would be seen as a win from Moscow's perspective. An end to Western support for Ukraine could even be a central Russian demand of such talks in return for withdrawal from Poland. That's funny. That is really funny. Can you imagine like 20 Russian soldiers or Belarusian soldiers end up in Poland? And Poland tells them, come on, guys, you got to leave. You got to get out of here. We're not going to fire on you because the U.S. told us not to fire on you. But you guys got to leave. And the Russian soldiers are like, yet. We're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. Come on, guys. Look, okay. Okay, listen, Mr. Navrosky. We'll leave. We'll leave and we'll go back to Belarus or we'll go back to Kaliningrad. But first, you have to withdraw your support for Ukraine. Come on, Russian soldiers. That's a huge demand. Come on. Nope, that's our demand. We're not going anywhere unless you withdraw support for Project Ukraine. Oh, my God. What a difficult choice for Navrosky, for Poland. Get rid of these Russian or Belarusian soldiers. Or what? Or they stay in Poland indefinitely? What's the option? We're going to hang out in Poland indefinitely unless you withdraw support for Ukraine. What to do? Okay, we'll withdraw support for Ukraine. Now get out of here. Oh, what a ridiculous story from the Telegraph. And people are actually believing this. Oh, boy. How do I get a job as one of these script writers? I could come up with better crap than this. I could definitely come up with better crap than this. So we could be seeing a false flag into Poland. I think that's basically what we're going to be seeing in order to distract away from the Nowrowski Green Goblin fight. It won't be 10 or 20 Belarusian or Russian soldiers in Poland. It will most likely be a missile that falls into Poland. A drone that falls into Poland. And everyone will start blaming Russia. Sikorsky and Ann Applebaum and all of them will start talking about Putin and Russia and drones are attacking us. Please, Nowrowski, please forget about this fight with Legoblin Verd. It's time to unite. We have a greater enemy that we need to deal with. That's exactly how they're going to play this. Oh, boy. So, sticking with Poland. Ah, what a nice wind. We have Donald Tusk, who is begging Nowrowski and Zelensky to make up and be friends. Poor Tusk. Poor Tusk. He's been put in a very difficult position. Full support for Project Ukraine. Full support for EU globalism. Full support for the Green Goblin. But he's also Prime Minister of Poland. And he's seeing Nowrowski's popularity rise as Nowrowski takes on Ukraine. And so Tusk and his party and his supporters, his team is saying, come on, Donald Tusk, you've got to hit back a little bit at Kiev. It'll push up your numbers. We know you don't want to. And we know that you've pledged full allegiance to Le Goblin Verd, but come on, just criticize him a little bit. And you'll see your numbers go up. And so that is what Tusk did yesterday. He said, I am convinced that good Polish-Ukrainian relations are in the interest of both countries, but they require goodwill from Kiev as well. It can no longer be the case that only Warsaw is expected to show goodwill all the time. Ouch. Ouch for Le Goblin Verd. Tusk. Tusk. Why are you betraying me, Mr. Tusk? Podolyak, why is Tusk saying this about me? Why is he saying that I have to show goodwill? I don't understand, Podolyak. So that's Tusk. He is saying that Kiev has to do something, but ultimately, he is hoping for Poland and Ukraine to make up, to go back to being buddies. I think Nowrowski should stick to his red line to demand that Ukraine dismantle all of their Banderite ideology, all of it. If you do not dismantle all of that stuff, then no money, no EU, nothing for you. He should stick to that line. If I was advising Nowrowski, I would tell him to send a message to Zelensky. You have until next week to remove every Bandera statue. Easily done. Remove all the Bandera statues and also change all of the street names. No more Bandera streets in Ukraine. And you have until next week to do this. And I would stick to those demands. Tell Zelensky that he could change the street names from Bandera to A. Podolyak. From Bandera Street to A. Podolyak Street. From Bandera Avenue to Green Goblin Avenue. Listen, to get to my place, you go straight, and then you turn right on Podolyak Street. Go straight, turn left on Green Goblin Avenue. Yeah, just have that demand of Alensky. Remove all of the Bandera ideology. You have 7 days. That's it. Anyway, that is an update on all of that stuff. And the big news for today, more big news for today. Aliens. Aliens painted that rock, no doubt about it. Is that that Russia has officially announced the capture of Konstantinovka. Putin showed up to the front lines, dressed in his camouflage, his military outfit, met with Gerasimov. I believe the defense minister Belousov was also present. And Gerasimov, he gave Putin an update on the situation on the front lines and the confirmation from the Russian military and the Russian president that it has been done. Konstantinovka has been captured. Now, reports are saying that Russia is still clearing some areas of Konstantinovka, of whatever remains of Ukraine forces, but I was not expecting the president of Russia and Gerasimov to announce yesterday that they have captured Konstantinovka. I was thinking maybe in a week or two, but nope, we got the announcement yesterday. Gerasimov, when he briefed Putin, he told Putin that in June, Russia hit 55 Ukrainian defense industrial facilities, including a plant producing FP5 Flamingo cruise missiles and multiple enterprises assembling long-range drones. Around 10 military airfields were also targeted. He said the campaign has substantially degraded Ukraine's ability to manufacture long-range strike weapons and carry out attacks deep inside Russian territory. Gerasimov also updated Putin on a counter-offensive from Ukraine towards Kupiansk. Remember Kupiansk? Ukraine is trying to get something going in Kupiansk before the big NATO summit. It's going to look really bad for Ukraine heading into the NATO summit, for the entire collective West, for CEO Mark Rutte, for President Trump, for the EU. 008 Keir Starmer heading into the NATO big summit, and Konstantinovka is gone. That is going to be really, really bad for Le Goblin Vert, for NATO, because they were hoping to go into the NATO summit talking up how Ukraine is winning and the tide is turning. More money, more weapons. That was going to be their messaging. But nope. The message will now be Konstantinovka captured. Liman is next. And according to President Putin, as we have said on this channel many times, now that Konstantinovka is captured, it opens up the way towards Kramatorsk and Slavyansk. And once those are captured, that is the end of the fighting in Donbas. Yesterday, we had Ukrainian drone strikes towards Moscow, unsuccessful. We also had drone strikes launched towards St. Petersburg, a little more successful. They hit a facility, an oil facility in St. Petersburg. But all of this is being done to try and distract away from the news of Konstantinovka. I read some posts claiming that Alensky refuses to believe that Konstantinovka has been captured. You have all kinds of pro-Ukrainian media sources and accounts on Telegram. Even Reuters yesterday was talking about, or 2 days ago, was talking about how the Russian military is finally on the outskirts of Konstantinovka. 2 days ago, the Russian military was on the outskirts of Konstantinovka. And now you have Putin announcing that Konstantinovka has been captured. There are a lot of media sources that refuse to believe that Konstantinovka has been captured. So Putin said some interesting things at this meeting with Gerasimov on the front lines. The liberation of Konstantinovka has great strategic significance. The city, as we all know, is a key transport and major industrial center of Donbas. The capture opens a direct route to Kramatorsk and Slavyansk, another fortified area in Donbas that is key to the liberation of the entirety of Donetsk People's Republic. He also went on to talk about how if Ukraine continues their strikes into Russia, what it is going to result in is a bigger buffer zone being created in Ukraine, a security zone, according to the Russian president. He talked about the Russian advances towards the Dnipropetrovsk region, Kharkov Sumy, how those areas are going to be a big buffer zone because of Ukraine's strikes into Russia. He also threw out the word Novorossiya again. He said the enemy units are trying to hold their positions, but under the onslaught of our troops is retreating with heavy losses, forced to retreat with heavy losses. Since the beginning of this year, Russian troops have liberated 133 settlements and taken control of more than 3,000 square kilometers of our land in Donbas and Novorossiya. There's that word again, Novorossiya, the second time in the past week that Putin has said the word Novorossiya. Is Putin talking about Odessa? Is he talking about Russia capturing the entire Black Sea, the entire coast, leaving Ukraine as a landlocked rump state? That's one interpretation of Novorossiya. There's other interpretations of Novorossiya, which limit it at Kherson and Zaporozhye and Dnipropetrovsk, and not going all the way to, say, Odessa or capturing the entire Black Sea coast. So what else did Putin say? Let me see here. He talked about the diplomacy or the lack of diplomacy, called out the Europeans. He said, I would like to note that both the Kiev regime itself and the so-called European imaginary peacekeepers, whose goal is not really peace, but the continuation of the war with Russia to the last Ukrainian, in their statements and practical actions, confirm our assumptions about their true intentions. Notice that he doesn't call out the United States. He says the imaginary negotiations or the imaginary peace that the Europeans are talking about. He doesn't talk about the U.S. at all. He did send a congratulations message to Trump, the Russian president, for July 4th. So he also said, he also sent that message as well. So big news, very big news, Konstantinovka. Much faster than I was anticipating. So we're getting reports from the AFP that the money that NATO is going to be giving to Le Gobelin Vert will be much less than he was hoping for. We're talking much, much less than he was hoping for. There was talks about NATO giving 70 million to 70 billion. 70 million, 70 billion to Le Gobelin Vert. Some reports had it at 150 billion from NATO member states to Le Gobelin Vert. The AFP is now reporting that from NATO, new money that NATO member states will actually allocate to Le Gobelin Vert during this Ankara NATO summit will total $10 billion. That is it. They're going to package it, according to this report, as a pledge of 70 billion euros. That's how they're going to present it. But there's a catch. The 70 billion also includes the 60 billion from the 90 billion of the EU loan to Ukraine. So the total new money will only be 10 billion euros. I think I said dollars. 10 billion euros is going to be the actual new money that Zelensky will walk away with from the NATO big summit in Turkey. He's going to be very, very angry. You're going to have a very angry green goblin in Turkey. Very angry. He might have been thinking 150 billion. That's what he was thinking. 150 billion plus 90 billion from the EU plus bilateral agreements with collective West countries. He was probably thinking 300 billion over the next 2 years is what he could be walking away with. And now we're getting reports that it's only going to be 10 billion. We'll see. We'll see what the end amount is going to be when the NATO meeting wraps up. But basically you have EU member states that are also members of NATO saying, wait a minute, I'm giving money to Project Ukraine through the 90 billion interest-free, don't have to pay back loan via the European Union. And now you're asking me to also give money, or your idea was to also give money through NATO as well? Just count what I'm giving to him through the EU 90 billion. Just count that as my contribution via NATO. They don't want to give money twice to Le Gobelin Vert, once through the EU and once through NATO. So the 90 billion, 60 billion of that is for the military contracts. 60 billion in military contracts. That's what NATO is going to, that's what the EU is going to give to Project Ukraine. NATO is going to say, okay, that's our contribution as well, plus another 10 billion. So 60 billion military contracts plus 10 billion, 70 billion. Zelensky, if you do some Annalena math, the new money that you're actually getting is 10 billion. Euros. Podolyak, what is this? 10 billion euros. That's it. How many freaking homes can I buy with 10 billion euros, Podolyak? I don't know, Mr. President. Maybe 1,000 homes? That's right, Podolyak. Only 1,000 homes. This is nothing. I wanted 150 billion. So that's an update there. And I think we can start to wrap up this video. Should we move into clown world territory? Spain, France, Switzerland, and now Italy are planning to kick out Palantir. Italy has rejected any new contracts and are reviewing the old ones. That's an interesting development. Some pushback against Palantir from some European countries. Let's see if that holds up. So the UK Parliament, or some members of the UK Parliament, very brave members of the UK Parliament, they are on a mission to cancel Masha and the Bear. Netflix has picked up Masha and the Bear, and this has angered some UK Parliament members, and they are now petitioning for a complete cancellation of the Russian cartoon, claiming that it is Kremlin propaganda. From Tom Gordon, MP: today in Parliament, I raised the growing concern over Masha and the Bear, a Russian cartoon streamed to British children on Netflix and ITVX, and flagged by Ukraine's Center for Countering Disinformation as a Russian soft power tool. I called on the leader of the House to secure a statement from the Secretary of State for DCMS on what the government intends to do. Stunning and brave MP Tom Gordon, taking on the evil Masha and the Bear, the evil propaganda cartoon. Masha and the Bear, just the name alone gives me shivers. Spooky, scary, Masha and the Bear. Does the Kremlin ever rest? Do they ever take a break? Will they ever leave the UK alone? Good for you, MP Tom Gordon. Very brave. This is the number one issue facing the UK at this very moment. The number one. Nothing even comes close to the issue of Masha and the Bear. UK citizens unite to prevent Masha and the Bear. Oh boy. Do I have any more clown worlds? Let's see here. Australia is doubling down on their social media ban for under 16-year-olds in Australia? They're doubling down on it because it's failed. It has proven ineffective. Those 16-year-olds, they're finding ways to log on to social media. And for Australian officials, this is unacceptable. Instead of admitting that their social media ban has failed, they've decided to double and triple down by increasing the actual fine on social media companies that are unable to prevent 16-year-olds from creating accounts and logging into social media accounts. They're going to increase the fine to $99 million dollars. I think that is the amount that they're increasing it to. That is what a social media platform will be fined if they are caught unable to police their social network. Guava, the Guava Beach Bar. So that's news coming out of Australia. Got to prevent those 16-year-olds from using social media. And we have one more clown world. Let's see if I have it bookmarked. Has to do with Navalny. The European Union, yes, I do have it bookmarked. They are placing sanctions on individual scientists that they believe were behind the Navalny poisoning. Yep, this is their latest sanctions initiative to go after something like 9 scientists that they claim were behind the frog dart poison that the European Union claimed led to Navalny's death. Remember that whole frog dart thing? I believe it was that dart poison from Bolivia or Ecuador that they claim Russia got a hold of. And then they used that lethal frog darts poison to off Navalny. Yeah, those scientists are now sanctioned by the EU. This is coming from Politico. Navalny, long seen as the most significant political opponent to President Putin, died in a Russian prison in 2024, according to five European governments. Poisoning was highly likely the cause of his death, as analysis of samples from Navalny's body conclusively confirmed the presence of epibatidine, a toxin from a poison dart frog. Ah, the poison dart frog. What will the Kremlin think of next? Poison dart frog. Genius, absolutely genius from Putin. Oh boy, yeah, the main competitor to Russian President Putin, Navalny, who had an approval rating of like 1%. Most people in Russia never even heard of him, but he was the number one competitor. Anyway, the scientists are being sanctioned by the European Union, and I am going to end my video there, theduran.locals.com. We are on X and Rumble, Telegram. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch, like what you see in this video update. Like this video, share this video. Subscribe to this channel. If you are subscribed to this channel, then please check to make sure you're still subscribed to this channel, because YouTube is indeed removing subscribers without them knowing it. Very, very sneaky, YouTube. Very sneaky. Why you do this to me, YouTube? Why? What have I done to you? What have I done to you to deserve such treatment? Anyway, check your subscription. That would be cool to make sure you're still subscribed, and obliterate and smash that hype button. Obliterate it, smash it, demolish it. I will see everybody mañana, coming to you from Limassol. Take care. So I walked back to where I was earlier, recording my video for today. And I thought I might as well jump in the water. And as I was walking back here, we are joined by a friend.
It's flying, go and come. Come on,